You are listening to DogsDirtDiary.com. This is the place where dirt race fans come to find out what's going on in the world of dirt track racing. Busy couple days here on the site. As you are noticing, we got cranking along on Wednesday night, got a whole bunch of stuff done, and now you guys have a lot to listen to for the next couple of weeks as we get ready for another week of racing here in the world of dirt track racing. You know, there are a lot of milestones for drivers as you go through your career. First time you win a heat race, that's something you're going to remember. First feature win, that's something you remember too. Your very first championship, that's a big memory too. But not many people get the memory that this guy on the phone has got right now, that he just got this past weekend. Not many people are in the modified business long enough to win 100 times in a feature. But Kevin Boland just won his 100th this past week at Lernerville. So let's find out how he did it. Let's head out to his business, which is Boland Machine. That is in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. Kevin Boland joins us here on Doug's Dirt Diary tonight. Kevin, how we doing?
I'm doing great, Doug. How about yourself today?
Well, probably not as good as you are right now. Congratulations on win number 100. That has got to mean a lot to you.
Well, you know, it's it is a milestone. It's one of those things you just they keep stacking up over the years, and next thing you know, you're creating history. So it's a lot of credit to my team. It's not just myself. So, you know, these guys work hard at getting these goals and these wins, and you know, consistency and teamwork and teams that stick together. That's what does that.
You were telling me earlier you didn't even realize it until you got into victory lane that you had done win 100, huh?
Well, you know, earlier in the season when we were actually putting our program together for the year, we knew it was coming up, and we thought we was going to cap it off last year, but we fell a little short, and we started the season thinking about, yeah, we'll gain our 100th win, and once the season got going, we thought, well, it was on my mind, but then we ran into the rainy startup of the season and sort of fell away from my mind, and first night at the second night at Lernerville, we just sort of went and did our thing, and I was surprised to hear it whenever I was in victory lane. So it sort of came to me as a surprise, even though I knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm. Now, has it hit you yet exactly what you've accomplished? Because obviously it wasn't just this night. This is a long career and a whole bunch of nights where the wind might not have been there or something happened. I mean, it's a lot of work to get to 100. Has it hit you yet?
Well, it's just been a lot of work over all the years that we've been racing, and you know, it's sort of like it hasn't really sunk in, but you know, when you compare what we've done to what other teams have tried to do in the years, I know feature wins are tough to come by, and especially with the competition as it is today. I mean, years ago, whenever modified coupes were in the growth years of the development and all those things, you know, there were some pretty dominant drivers, and they stacked up some feature wins. You know, over their years, like Lou Blaney and the Blackie Watts in the Western Pennsylvania area. But you know, these days those wins are getting pretty tough to get. You know,
mm-hmm.
with all the technology and the drivers that are out there. So, but we're still going to push for our fair share of wins throughout the year.
I would think that in today's era of being able to go to the manufacturer, being able to go to an engine builder, and, you know, basically if you have $50,000, you can have the same thing that Brett Hearn has or somebody like that. Is it tougher to win today than it was in the coupe days when you had to buy and build your own stuff?
Well, a lot of that was, I came into the modified racing back whenever they were just getting out of the coupe chassis. I was probably one of the first guys. I mean, there was probably a handful of them that had the 2x4 box square tubing frames, and the two frames. I mean, a lot of those older coupes, I didn't realize it at the time, but you know, when you sit back and look at some of the history that in the old photos and stuff, you say, wow, I was pretty lucky to have a tube frame back then. Didn't even know it.
Yeah. So tell me, how did we get to victory lane this past Saturday night? Walk me through your night.
Actually, Friday night.
Friday night,
excuse me. You know, we started out with a good bill draw. We pulled number two on our bill draw and started us on the pole for our heat race. And the track was very heavy, fast, and, you know, we put some good lap times down. And Jimmy Weller ended up getting around me on a restart, not because of the restart. It's just I went in, got the car a little tight, and he capitalized on my little mistake. And I guess that's what it needed to where I needed to be. Good Lord must have knew that I had to finish second in order to get the pole position for the feature.
Okay.
So when they put me into the bingo cage and rolled my number out, it came out, and the 777 was sitting on the pole. So we started the feature there, and, you know, it was a very rough, it rained here that whole week prior.
And, oh, it did.
And, actually, it rained all morning at Lernerville till the sun came out and started, you know, that we had some hope, but there for a while we didn't know if we was going to get the race in, but as it was, we had, you know, been challenged by Brian Schwartzlander on a couple laps there early on until I found my line and started changing up my driving, and then Davey Murdick also gave me a challenge. It got around me. Actually, both those guys got around me, but when it came to scoring the lap, we still came across the finish line, so I think we led all the laps of all the 25 laps except one, and we still came around them. And once I got my rhythm and found the smooth spot in the track, we just sort of you know, we had plenty of challenges, plenty of attempts for people to get around me, but these restarts were, we got a great horsepower to be able to pull us off those restarts. So
that's that motor from Bull and Machine doing that for you, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's I leave that all up to my father, Don, and you know we still assist him in assembly and everything, and we're all involved in the program. But you know, yeah, Dad does an awesome job on building us some horsepower.
What was Dad's reaction to this win 100?
Everybody's, you know, whenever you know you're standing in victory lane, everybody's sort of, you know, that's the reward everybody gets.
Mm-hmm.
In putting their heads together for the night, because it's a lot of work, and you know, these days if you want to be in victor circle, you can't go there to BS. You got to be there to go to win, and you better have your game face on.
Yeah, like somebody said years ago, no matter how hard you're working and how much you're doing and how much you're spending, there's always somebody else doing a little bit more. So you got to do everything you can during the week to win on the weekend.
During the week, during the night of the race, and mm-hmm. then, you know, there's so much that goes into it that most people don't even realize, and sometimes your competitors might even think that, you know, we're sort of non-sociable at the races, but you know, it's not that we're non-sociable, it's just that we've got a job to do, and as long as we're paying attention and focusing on what we got to do, hopefully we'll be the guy in the top three each night.
But you can't be too serious, right? Because I mean, obviously you've got a lot on your line, and it, like I've said, every time you go into a corner, you got everything on your line, on the line, you know, your family, your business, everything, because that could all go away with one misstep. But you do still have to have fun, don't you, Kevin?
Well, that's what it's all about. It's fun. Everything else is sort of like, you build the safety in the car and everything, that the maintenance and your Magnaflex things to make things make sure things aren't cracked, and make sure things are straight, and you know, all your shocks are set right, and you know, so you know, there is an element of a safety, but you really, it's like winning 100 feature wins. You don't think about it. You go do your thing, and you drive safe, and you protect safe, and you don't get yourself in predicaments that might get you in trouble. And I'm not saying something couldn't happen, because accidents do happen, but we look at the positive side of things, and it's like golfing, you know. It's just like getting the right club out and hitting the ball right, and you get the hole in one every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. But just because you got the right club in your hand doesn't mean good things happen. So
that's right,
exactly.
Yep. You got to focus on the swing and the stance and everything.
Yeah, good analogy, by the way. Even though you can't hurt yourself. Well, I guess you probably could hurt yourself golfing. It depends on how good you are. But so tell me about Tri-City on Sunday. We had the season opener there.
Well, we didn't have as good luck there on Friday night. We're trying some new shocks and flogging out some. They got some new track surface there, and new ownership, and you know, it was a really hot screaming day, and you know, track had changed, and they put water on it, and so we had some things that hurdles we had to overcome, and we sort of missed set up, but we finished the race and got a seventh, and you know, we're coming off of a 3-year-in-a-row championship, and you know, I know there's probably a lot of guys aiming to try to get one of those championships this year.
So.
And, you know, we're going to be there to defend them, so they're going to have their work cut out for them, because you know, we're We might have fell down on us last Sunday, but we'll be picking it back up, and we'll be back here in Victor Circle.
Did we learn something about the shocks?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're always learning, and, you know, that's a whole level of learning there, because that's sort of like a black science, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's all figured out for everybody. I mean, I think that you just got to go with what makes you feel comfortable in the car, you know, when you get 15 or 20 shocks in the truck, and you try to figure out how the track, what the track needs, what shocks, you know, that's the key.
And the guys have told me too that you can almost outthink yourself on shocks sometimes and give them a little more importance than they really deserve. Is that true?
Well, you can, and I think that, you know, when you look at different valving packages and pressures that you run in these shocks, you know, definitely has you've got some. Things, as long as you know where you're at and what type of shock you need for the condition,
mm-hmm.
then that's a good baseline. From there, then it's a matter of just fine-tuning, and, you know, that's an ongoing science. You know, it just you better be having somebody good to work through with a shock company or something like that. You know, we work through Bilstein right now, and you know, they wanted to see their shocks in Victory Lane, so second night there we were in Victory Circle, so
good job.
We must be doing something right.
All right, now just for some of the Crate Sportsman guys that might be listening right now, because, you know, a lot of them are experimenting with shock pressures as well. What is the traditional train of thought? Let me paint a couple of scenarios here for you, Kevin. You tell me what we should do. Car's just a tick tight going in. How do we adjust our pressures at each corner of the car?
Well, you know, I could tell you. I don't know, because I don't.
Oh, you don't? Really?
No, I do. You know, if
you know, just baselines, Kevin. That's all. Not too specific.
See, it's sort of it's a tough question to answer, because you don't really know all the other parameters like spring rates and things like that.
I see.
They've got you know, maybe not a heavy enough bar in the left rear, or maybe they get too stiff a spring in the right front, or their chassis heights aren't right, or things like that. But, you know, my suggestion would be to either increase the pressure in the left rear and drop the pressure out of the right front. That'd probably be the easiest thing for right now.
Okay.
You know, you could make sure your ride heights, or make sure you don't have any bind in the car. There's maybe you don't have a strong enough spring on the left front. Maybe it's too soft and it's putting more drive in the car, but. Maybe the chassis height's too low in the back, you know.
Okay. Now, with the opposite condition, do we just reverse what you just said, or it's probably not that simple, is it?
Well, it's sort of, you know, it sort of works that way. It is sort of the opposite. If you had, you know, a car that was too loose getting in. But, again, you know, sometimes, you know, trying to sort out a car in 5 minutes and not knowing all the parameters is pretty difficult.
That's true. And I would think probably the best advice you could really give for anybody in that position, especially if they're new, is align yourself with another team, right, that knows what they're doing, offer your help, they'll help you, and you guys learn together, basically, right?
Well, that seems to be a logical statement. But, you know, sometimes when it really comes down to, you know, getting good information, you know, if you're not in contention with, you know, affecting the placement of maybe one of the leaders, then you might be able to get some of that information. But the closer you get to the top, most people don't want to take and help you.
That's true.
Although, you know, I look at it, I'd rather race good guys to clean and make sure that they're handling, because a lot of times it's very difficult to race a car that's not handling. So
right.
if I can help a guy, you know, get into a better situation by give them a tip, you know, certainly anybody can ask me anytime, and I'll try to help them out. But big thing is just all these cars designed. You got guys like Randy Williamson up at Bicknell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys are awesome when it comes to setting baseline chassis setups and things. They've got these cars, got a ton of them out there, and those guys can actually, you know, they know their cars. They know where your baseline should be, or maybe your driver level and how aggressive you are driving. Because, you know, the driving level as far as different drivers, you know, I'm going to drive my car different than the next guy. And, you know, somebody else is going to drive it different than I would. And what works for me sometimes won't work for somebody else, even if I told them the proper thing to do. It might not be, you know, the right answer for him because maybe I drive the car into the corner straight and try to keep the car underneath me. Somebody else feels that maybe you got to pitch the car, you know, so. There's so many different things, but, you know, go back to the basics. Look at the car manual that's given with the book. Like when Bicknell sends you buy a car at Bicknell, you get a book and gives you all those baselines of what you do for tacky, what you do for dry slippery, what you do for all these different scenarios.
Very good.
Baseline.
And, of course, you know, there's Billy Colton at Troyer. There's other guys as well. So, you know, that's true. Best advice will come from the chassis manufacturer. But, hey, Kevin, congratulations. I know we got a little off the topic here, but we always do whenever you and I get gabbing away here. So, but, again, congratulations. Who do you want to say thanks to for getting in victory lane for that 100th time?
Well, you know, my brother Keith, my father Don, you know, Todd and Dave Chamberlain. I got a new guy that's helped me because he's taken a great deal of interest in. He likes to win, too, so he wanted to help us on a car, so we picked up a new guy, Matt, my son Derek, and, you know, I've got some sponsors. Cintas is back with us this year, and Cranberry Coin and Currency out of Cranberry. That's another place here in western Pennsylvania. But, you know, I've Auto Body Works, you know, Maley Pistons, you know, there's a ton of good people, and we're always looking. We don't really have a premier sponsor for the front of the car or the tail of the car or the inner panel. We just got a bunch of people that have been with us for a number of years, and, you know, this is tough times, and we're just trying to, you know, muster up a sponsor that can help us get us to maybe another level or get another car. So, you know, we've got a lot of open space there.
Well, very good. Now, what's up this weekend? Two races again this weekend?
Yeah, actually, Lonerville Friday and back to Tri-City on Sunday. Weather's not looking too good here in western Pennsylvania.
No.
So looks like they're calling for about 70% chance of rain on Friday. So.
That much, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
so.
No.
But, you know, those newscasters, you know, sometimes they can be wrong.
That's true, and hopefully they're wrong about this weekend. They've been going back and forth here in Central New York for us guys. One minute they say we're going to be good. Next time I check it, they say we're going to be in trouble. And as of right now, they're saying, well, we could be in trouble again. So we'll just have to wait and see. But, Kevin, again, congratulations on everything. And keep in touch, buddy. Let me know when you get back to Victory Lane again.
Yeah, I'll do that. But I did want to mention one other thing, too.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys, know that Pittsburgh Motor Speedway, I don't know, PPMS, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania Motor Speedway.
I've heard about it, but I don't
know
much about it.
It's a late model track, just about within 10 miles of the Pittsburgh International Airport. It's a 5/8 mile on the inside of the track. On the 23rd, the BRP Tour is having a special race there. So it's the first time in about 20 years that the big blocks have been on that track. So,
wow.
It's going to be an awesome event, but a big track, a late model track. The Miley's, Ben Miley, I don't know if you know those guys, but they're big late model guys in this area. So.
Oh, okay.
Just want to let you know.
Very good. Well, I'll get with Gary Montgomery on that, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, because if the BRPs are there, I'm sure he's going to know something about
actually,
it.
Yep, they just signed on to being the a dirt sanctioned track for this year, too.
Yeah, so, I saw him on the list that Tom Skubinski sent me. Pittsburgh, let's see, they have super late models, UMPs, pro stock, pro late models, pro stocks, factory stocks, and four cylinders. So sounds like they're doing a lot of good stuff down there. Looks like I got to add another track to my plans this year.
Yeah, it's an awesome track. I just went down and did a little exhibition for him last week and took the car around there for five laps and got some great reviews, and people were just excited to come see the big blocks.
Well, hey, I wish you all the best this year, and hopefully we'll be chatting again here real soon.
Hey, sounds good, Doug.
All right, take care, man. You guys listen. The only place you get this every day, right here on Doug's Dirt Diary.